And most of you probably already know Brother Newman is with the Friends Association of Southern Alabama, and he has asked Elder Alton from Irving, Texas, to come and fill the pulpit today. We're so happy that Brother Alton has consented to be with us today. It's been about 30 years since he's been here, and he's way overdue for a visit. We're so happy that he's here. I'm reminded of a scripture that was spoken by Cornelius whenever the Lord sent Peter up to preach to Cornelius. When he got there, Cornelius says, "It's good that you have come. We're gathered together to hear what you got to say." So we're, Brother Alton, we are gathered together today to hear what you have to say. We trust that in that day, the Lord was working on both ends, worked on the preacher and worked on the congregation that Cornelius had gathered together. So the Holy Spirit told Peter to go doubting nothing. So, Brother Alton, I hope that you have come doubting nothing today, and we're here to hear what you have to say. We're going to ask Brother Edwin Reed to come around and offer the prayer.
Citizens of this land, help us to be better parents and grandparents. Lord, forgive us of many things we have done wrong, foolish things we have done. Forgive us, O Lord. Lord, we pray that we may live in such a way that our lives will find favor in thy sight. Lord, we ask thee the best blessing now in Jesus' name, Lord, and say, amen.
Thank you, man.
To be able to be with you today. I talked to Brother Bass, and he called me and asked me to come, and I told him to give me a few days and I'd get back with him. And I had kind of a struggle making up my mind where to accept the invitation. But I'm here, and Brother Owen said, see what I had to say. I hope you're not like they were in the apostles' day. They gathered there to see what the babbler had to say. So I hope that I'm not a babbler, but I hope that I present to you things that are true. 30 years ago, it's been a long time. I was telling Brother Reed last night, well, he reminded me the last time that I were here, my hair was curly, had more of it than I have now, but that's part of life. I hope that you'll pray for me as I try to speak to you. I'm just a simple, plain preacher, if I'm a preacher. And I hope that what I say will be of some comfort to you. It won't be anything you haven't heard before, but maybe I'd be able to stir up your pure mind in way of remembrance of things you've already perhaps have heard and have forgotten. It's important that we remember, that we don't forget what we've heard. Let them slip from us. There are no doubt some things we have heard that we should forget. And some things perhaps we've heard that we should not have received. But hold on to the truth. I was thinking when we were singing this Amazing Grace, that expresses my feelings, and that is what I believe and have believed for many years. So I hope that you'll have a mind to pray for me as I read some scriptures this morning from two or three places, and I'll try to say something that will be of some help to you. I am sure that after I have finished, if the Lord is with me, you won't have to guess what I believe or in whom I believe. I want to be understood, as I already stated, that Amazing Grace expresses my experience and my feelings. That's a wonderful word, grace. And God is full of grace. And every sinner that's ever been saved or ever will be saved is saved by grace. Not only saved, but is kept by grace. And if we know the truth this morning as it is in Christ, it's because of God's grace that we understand the doctrine of grace. And if we sing as you have this morning, that was because of God's grace. And if we serve God as we're taught and as we should, we need grace. And my friends, I'm a believer in grace, but also believe that because of grace that God has bestowed upon us and saved us by His grace and blessed us while we've been in this world, that we should serve God with all of our being. And if we understand the depths of the fall and have experienced in our own lives, in our own hearts, how unworthy we were, how undone, how unfit we were, and yet God Almighty sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save wretches like we are, sinners, saved by grace. I want to read some this morning from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, writing to the church, to the people of God, informing them of some wonderful things. He's talking about in the 15th chapter about the resurrection. That's a wonderful subject. But he approached it first on the negative side. If there be no resurrection of the dead, you're still in your sins. And then he began to talk about the positive side, that there is a resurrection or will be a resurrection of the dead. If that be so, which it is, then we're not in our sins. And we're not in our sins, we're dead to sin, but alive unto God. We at one time were dead in sin because of what's been done for us by the grace of God. We're dead to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over us because we're not under the law, we're under grace. And the reason that we're under grace is because of what the Lord did for us in coming into the world, living a perfect life for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. Not only that, but He died for us. And in His death, He put away our sins forever, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. Now that's because that God loved us. It's amazing to me that God would love me.
And it's amazing to me also that if I love God, it's because He first loved me and shed His love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You cannot volunteer and love God. We love Him first. He loved us before we ever arrived on the scene. He loved us with an everlasting love. And because of that love that is everlasting, He has drawn us with that same love unto Himself. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that God does not change? Aren't you glad that what God does, it shall be forever? Nothing can be put to it, nothing taken from it, and this the Lord doeth, that men might fear before Him. And my friends, that if we're ever saved, it's going to be by the grace and mercy of God, because of what the Lord came into the world and died for us. We will never die that death He died. We will die corporeally unless the Lord comes again before we pass out of this world. But my friend, we've been delivered from that death that Christ experienced on the cross to save us from our sin. He's not going to die anymore. He's not coming back anymore to deal with sin. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. The sacrifice that Christ offered on the cross at Calvary, my friend, it was forever because it was effectual. It did what it was purposed to do, and that was to make atonement for sin. Think of that. Let that soak in. When we began to read about the precepts in the New Testament, the thing that the Lord has commanded us to do, one is to believe in Him and to obey His commandments. Have you ever thought about how different this world would be, that it's so confused and so wrapped up in sin, that if the God's children would obey the Lord, what a difference it would make in our own individual life, in the church, in the family. What a difference it would make that if we would obey the Lord. And my friends, when we think about where we were, where we are, where we're going, it ought to stir us up within our souls to serve God with a full purpose of heart. Not in order to get, because we already got forgiveness of our sins. And you know, sin has been my trouble. And God's grace has been my comfort. Even when I feel to be so sinful and undone before God. And I'm blessed for a little while to behold what Christ came into the world to do. What He did, it brings comfort to me. Brings joy to me to be blessed of God, to believe that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Aren't you glad today? The Lord's the seeker. The Lord's the finder. The Lord's the keeper of His sheep. And my friend, that if He sought us, He found us. Not in order, not that He didn't know where we were, but He's letting us know that He was sent of the Father to save sinners. And I believe He did what He came into the world to do. He still, by His power, by His Spirit, calling the elect from a state of death and sin and giving them eternal life. Aren't you glad that God reaches down by His grace and mercy, takes hold of us, holds on to us, that we will never perish because we have eternal life? The Lord, you remember that it was when He was raised from the dead, He said, "I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." Notice this. And because I live, you're going to live. We live because He lives. He dwells in us by His Spirit. That's because of His love and His grace toward us unworthy creatures. Now Paul, writing to the church in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Did you know the gospel of Christ never has imparted spiritual life to a dead sinner? But did you also know that the gospel saved the living sinner from any errors in this world, from many false doctrines? So there shall saving power in the gospel of Christ when it comes to the individual that already has life. Paul said, knowing, brethren, your election of God, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. That's, my friend, what the church needs today. The gospel preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We don't need a lecture. We need to hear the gospel preached to God's children. A pride is stirred by the Spirit of God to motivate God's people, to remind them of what's been done for us. And we ought to serve Him with all of our hearts. Now, you know, it's one thing for you to go to the gospel and the gospel come to you. How did Paul know that they were elect? He didn't have the Lamb Book of Life in front of him to read the names. He was going by the fruits and the evidence that the gospel left in the heart of those that already had life. They turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. And I believe, my friend, today when the gospel is preached in sincerity and it's applied and sent down by the Holy Ghost, that God's children will turn from wrong living, wrong living, wrong acting, and wrong thinking to serve God. Now then, he said, our gospel. You know, Paul was an apostle sent to preach the gospel, sent by the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, given grace to preach the gospel, and because of that, he preached the gospel of the free grace of God. And every opportunity that he had, he brought in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. There are many that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. But my friends, whether we believe this book or whether we reject it, it's still God's eternal truth, and it'll stand forever. Now you notice in this it says, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I wonder how many sermons that we have heard in our life that we soon forgot, that we did not recall to our minds what we had heard in an instructive way for us to serve God in the world. How much do we remember of what we have heard? And I want you to know this morning, it's important for us to remember. Somebody said, I can't remember like I used to. I make that remark many times. I'll hear folks say, I can't remember like I used to. I say, join the club. I can't either. But my friend, one thing impresses our mind and is stamped in our minds by the Spirit of God, we will remember what we heard, especially if it's cheered our soul and brought us through many troubles and trials in this life. You know, the gospel is good news. I'm glad this morning. I don't have to stand here and apologize for the Lord. Say he wants to, but he can't. He wants to, but the sinner won't let him. That's not the God of the Bible. He does his will among the armies of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. He's in one mind who can turn whatsoever his soul desires, even that he doeth. My friend, when he saved you from your sins, that was his good pleasure to save you. Think of it. We couldn't save ourselves. The preacher couldn't save us. The church couldn't save us. Because there's always been and always will be one Savior, and he's able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. That's the only way that we can go to God, is through the Son of God. Oh, my friend, think about it. You know, the Lord said, I am the way. I'm the way to the Father. He's the only way. He's the good way. He's the safe way. And my friend, this morning, that's how we go to the Father, is by and through what he has done for us. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. When you find that word in the Bible, that I am, that great I am, if you want to know about this great I am, read of what he did to the for the children of Israel. I am God, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not consumed. God has always been God. He always will be God. Christ has always been the Savior, sinner. He always will be. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None. Because God promised eternal life to us before the world was. And if we're to be the recipients of that, we must be saved. And that's why the Lord came to save us from our sins. He's a Savior. The only Savior. And when He died on the cross, He didn't die in vain. He died on purpose, for a purpose, to save everyone that His Father gave Him in the covenant of grace. And that's an innumerable number. And now the whole bunch was sinners. He didn't come to save the good. There was none good. He didn't come to save those that sought the Lord. There was none that sought Him. A man will never seek God till God seeks him out first, finds him and quickens him, makes him alive by the Spirit of God. And we will never die. Because Jesus said, because I live, you're going to live. Brother, today we're alive, we're living, and someday we're going to be taken out of this world, be in that upper and better world to be with Him forever because of what He's done for us. We've had joys down here on earth. They come and go, but up there, there'll be an unending day, there'll be unending joy and peace forever in eternal glory because of what Christ did. Now then he says here, for I delivered unto you first of all, first and most important. This is the gospel. This is good news to the living soul. I delivered unto you first of all. And you know, my friends, I love to hear a man that is called and sent. I love to hear a man that God has qualified by His Spirit to preach the gospel. You find many in the world today. Some are called, some are sent, some just bundled up and went. Brethren, there's been a lot of bundling up, a lot of going. But God Almighty is the one that can make a preacher. I wouldn't walk across the road to hear a man preach, but I'd crawl all the way to hear God preach a man. And brethren, there's a difference. Now in this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I couldn't this morning deliver unto you something I didn't receive. I can't preach a text if I hadn't experienced that text. I couldn't say, blessed are they that mourn if I've never mourned. But brethren, I have mourned because of my sins. And yet, I've been comforted by the grace and the Spirit of God. You can't voluntarily mourn. You might try it. You won't be successful of it. But my friend, when sin brought home to your conscience, nobody's going to have to tell you to mourn. We're going around mourning like doves. And yet we have the glorious gospel of the Son of God to comfort us. Blessed are they that mourn. They're already blessed. They don't mourn in order to be blessed. But this is evidence they've been blessed of God. So show that they are sinners in the sight of God. But God don't leave us in the dark. He tells us the fault, my friend, and the remedy. Christ is the answer to every problem that we have had in this world. Even in the greatest darkness and when we feel down within ourselves, He's the only one, even in that hour, can brush the clouds away and give us grace. And we can endure hardships in this life when we realize that He's with us. He said He was. He said, I'm with you always. And my friend, He's not a God afar off. He's a God at hand. He's always near. And He always knows our need. And He's able to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You remember? He said, call upon me in the day of trouble. Many are the troubles of the righteous. I've had troubles. You've had trouble. Greatest trouble I've had in this life is soul trouble. Sin that has troubled my soul. But God says, call upon me. He's not a God that's afar off. He's not gone on a journey. He's not asleep. And brethren, he cares for his own. Call upon me, and I will hear, and I will answer thee. We ought to embrace that promise every day we live in the world to know that we can approach unto God by and through what Christ Jesus has done for us. How many times have you gone? How many times when things seem to be going well, we kind of seem to forget about God? There's a time we should be thankful unto God. You know, David said, what will I render to the Lord for all the benefits toward me? Aren't you glad today when we came to meet, we didn't have to bring a lamb to slay, to shed his blood for our sins? It's not a burden to serve God. It's a joy. We've got to crucify and mortify the deeds of the flesh. But you know, we can come with a sacrifice. And we ought to offer this sacrifice to God. A sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God because that he saved us by his grace and keeps us by his power. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name. Blessed be God for that name. Because his name is Jesus. Really, he was named Jesus because he was sent to save sinners from their sins. And he shall save his people from their sins. His covenant people, though that God gave unto him a long, long time ago before the world was, he accepted everyone the Father gave him. And my friend, he died for everyone the Father gave unto him. Died in their place, in their room, in their stead, and what a death that was. There's not anyone here this morning could describe the death that Jesus died on the cross. The just dying for the unjust. The godly dying for the ungodly. The righteous dying for the unrighteous. Can you fathom that? Paul said, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he were rich, yet on account of you, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Think of that. A poor man rich and a rich man poor. Jesus left heaven in eternal glory, come down in this sinful world, tabernacle among men, associated among the poor, the needy, all classes of people. He even ate and drank with publicans and sinners. Why? Because he was the Savior. You know, he healed the lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the deaf ears, caused the crippled to walk, even raised the dead. Brethren, if one can raise the dead, he can do anything that he pleases. And Christ did that. He walked among all kind of folks, all kind of diseases, and he never caught a one. You think about that? He didn't catch nothing. Why? He had pure blood. I don't like the idea that men said that he could sin, but he didn't. He didn't sin. He couldn't sin. He was God, my friend. Anybody say that he could have sinned, but he didn't? Denying the virgin birth of Christ. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor. All the day that we could see him by the eye of faith. See him, my friend, in his infancy. See him when he went about doing good. Never did a thought that was, thought a thought that was wrong. Never did anything wrong. He did everything the Father sent him to do, and he said everything the Father told him to say. Don't you wish we were like that? But we're not. But thank God he did it for us. You know what he did? It was for us. You know, God does a work for us and does a work in us. That's God's work. He begins it in us. He carries it on and perfects that work that he began. God never did start to do something, get frustrated and have to give it up because he couldn't do it. He does everything he purposed to do. made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, Christ, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But my friend, the word man's not in the original. He suffered death for everyone. Who are they? It's the brethren, it's the church, it's the one the Father gave to him. They were sinners. And now, you know, it says later, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, I have kept. Aren't you glad today? Do we really believe this morning that he's the Savior and he's the keeper? Where would you be today if the Lord hadn't saved you? Where would you be? Where would you go in the final end if he's not your Savior? There are only two places in the Bible where the wicked shall go, my friend, when this life is over. There's a place where God's redeemed people will go when their souls leave this body, go to be with God. But there's a time coming. These bodies are going to be raised, going to be changed, going to be fashioned, like in the glorious body and of the Son of God, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, that's because you ever stop to think what grace has done? What it is going to do? You know, you can't change this body. When we were regenerated by the Spirit, this body wasn't changed. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Coming a time, it's going to be changed. You don't hear about people say, I'm ready to go to heaven. I've got it all done, got it all fixed, I'm ready to go. You ever see anybody go before the Lord called? You ever see anybody standing on the corner with a ticket in their hand, ready to go? Brother, if it was possible that we could ascend up in this corporeal body, that'd explode, that'd disintegrate. But God's going to change them, and God is going to fashion them lack into the glorious body of the Son of God. Now, I want to come on down here. And he said, talking about Christ, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, you don't have to only read in the New Testament. You'll find prophecies in the Old Bible talking about the suffering and the death of Christ, and also what he would accomplish in his death. This is no guesswork. This is the truth. And I'm glad this morning that I've been believing this a long, long time, and my believing didn't make it so. But I found out it was so, and I'm glad that God enabled me to believe it. I guarantee you, sometime I have doubts about myself, but not about him, because he's unchanging. How that Christ died for our sins. Now, you could go at length in this, and you can discriminate, you could say, and it's true, he died for the sheep. He died for the church. You can read about all how they're described as being the people of God. Now, we know Christ didn't die for literal sheep. His people are termed sheep. He loved the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. He saved the sheep. He's coming back. He leads the sheep now. He guides them while they're living here in the world. Now, I'm going to try to hurry and finish this. Also, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was died, he was buried, he rose again. You know, before he died, he told them that he's going to die. They couldn't understand it. He told them that destroy this temple, 3 days I'll raise it up. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about the natural temple. He's talking about his body. And it came to pass. He was crucified, he was buried, he rose again the third day. Now I'm glad this morning nobody was there to help him. Wasn't any apostle there to help him. He didn't need any help. He don't need any now. Really? We the one that need him. We need help of God to help us while we're living in this wicked world. Now, I want to go here to what Paul asked a question. You ever notice Paul was full of questions always asking questions. And if he didn't answer them, I wonder what kind of answer we'd come up with. But you know, important questions he answered. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's God that justifies the sinner. It's God that saves the sinner. It's God, my friends. Now, your conscience, many times, and the devil will harass you with mistakes we've made in the world. He'll remind us of some things we want to forget. But there cannot be a charge laid against the elect of God, the chosen of God. Why? They don't owe not one debt. Brethren, this morning, Christ came to the world and he paid it off. He paid the debt in full. We've been set free from the law. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Debt's been paid. You know, it feels so good to get out of debt. But you know what we do often when we get out of debt? We turn right around and get back in debt. In and out all of our lives. But it gave you such a good feeling to have your home paid for, your farm paid for, your car paid for, to be out of debt. But here is a greater debt that demanded death if it was not paid. We couldn't pay it, my friend. We didn't have a penny to pay on this debt. Because that way we'd be paying and never paid. He came into the world, paid the debt in full, my friend, and it's marked stamped, paid in full. We're cleared of that by the Son of God. We need to grasp that truth. We need to live by that truth. It's about biblical truth. It's God that justifies. God Almighty justifies the sinner because the debt's been paid. We've been liberated. We've been set free, my friends, because of Christ, what Christ has done. Then he goes on a little further. It is Christ that died. My Lord of mercy, what's all in that little expression? It is Christ that died. God's only begotten Son. God's well-beloved Son. It wasn't the sheep over there on the law. It wasn't the goat that died for our sins. They could never put away sin, but the Lord died one time and one time only. And in that death, he put away sin, the punishment of sin that was due unto us. Not only, and I've said this several times, the Lord paid our debt in full. We're out of debt, but we're still debtors to God to serve the Lord and obey His commandments. But that debt's been paid. And besides paying it, He gives us spending money. We have grace while we're living here. The debt is paid, it's counsel. And we're living upon the grace of God. Aren't you glad? When we come to the end of the way, we're not going to be up yonder. God telling us all the good we did and all the bad we did. If we did more good than we had bad, going to say, "Come, you blessed of my Father." No, sir, friends. Christ, not only did he die, he was raised again. Not only was he raised from the dead, he ascended back to where he came from. And he's seated on the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Think of that, brethren. We got a lawyer in heaven that pleads for us his blood, and his blood avails because he died and God blotted out our sins and our transgressions. Cast him in the bottom of the sea, cast him behind his back, blotted him out as a thick cloud against us. Never to remember them against us no more. Why? Because Christ died. Not only that, God said in Jeremiah, "Though they be searched for, there won't be none." Why? We've been forgiven. We can only appreciate that when we understand and believe
in God's grace and mercy. And it's important to us that we learn everything we can about this man that's called Jesus, this Savior of sinners. Now, one or two more scriptures, and then I'm through. Now, I'll prove what I've already said. In the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, it says concerning Christ, who was delivered to death for our transgression, not his, ours. Who was delivered for our transgression. Who was delivered because that we had sinned and were sinners. But it didn't stop there. You know, it's wrong for us to say anything about the death of Christ and about his burial and leave him in the grave. My friend, he's not in the grave. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And you know, as he intercedes for us, he said himself that to the Father, I know that thou always hearest me. Aren't you glad of that? You don't always hear me. I ask for things that might be destructive, but not the Lord. Standing there as our lawyer. He is there as our advocate in the presence of God. If our Paul, John said, I write unto you little children that you sin not. It's wrong for anybody to say that if I believe what you believe, I get my fill of sin. I've already had my fill of sin. Brother, that's contrary to the doctrine of grace. I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, which we do, we have right now, tomorrow, an advocate with the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God's children among the Jew, God's children among the Gentiles. He's the advocate of all of God's children all over the world. Whether it be old Baptists or whatever. If they belong to God, they have an advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation. He's the one that made satisfaction to God, to God's law, in our behalf, in order to set us free. Paul said to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're free men. We're free people. And that by the Lord of glory. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our or because of our justification. Oh, think of it. This one verse. His death and his resurrection. And what was accomplished in through it and by it? We have peace with God. Christ is the peacemaker. With God. We have peace with God. Did you ever talk to God? I'm sure everybody here has. You know how come it you can? Because Christ made peace with the Father. If he hadn't, you couldn't talk to God. You couldn't go to God. But he has reconciled us unto God by his death. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Then he says over here in the 15th verse, he's talking about, I believe it's in the fourth verse, he says, being justified freely without cost to us. Being justified, past tense, freely without cost to us. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul said in the second, first verse of Ephesians, in whom we have redemption. Brethren, we've been redeemed. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sin. What a glorious thought it is. For our sin to be forgiven. For us to be able to commune with God. And have fellowship with him and with his people. Is a wonderful gift of grace. Now there's so much. That I just hinted at this, but one more verse I want you to notice. You know, he talked about being justified freely by his grace, justified from all things. We're not justified because we believe. Justification is before belief, before faith. Faith is a fruit and the effect of us being justified. Now, because of what the Lord did, came into the world to save sinners like us, especially me. And you know, the Lord never has had any problem saving a sinner. They might kick like a mule, but they won't avail. They might bow their neck, but that won't avail. If there was ever a sinner hard for God to save with the word, it'd been Paul. But God didn't have a problem with Paul, did he? Brother, he had no problem with you either, but I've had a problem with himself. All he does is just speak. That effectual voice. No wonder they said, no man spake like this man. Who can raise the dead but God? Who can give life to the dead? Nobody but God. He's the life giver. And we are the recipients of that eternal life which was given unto us by him, because he loved us. Now, Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, first verse, and to understand the reason he said what he said, you need to go back at the first chapter and come up to this to find out why he said what he said. Keep on reading in the 8th chapter and you'll find just more support to what he said. There is therefore now, down, right now, this morning, no condemnation, no judging guilty to them who are in Christ. Now then, a good question. And I'll proceed no further than that. The problem is, how do you get in Christ? Is that man's effort or God's? I'll say it. That's God's word. But of him are you in Christ. Think of it. Brother, when he died on the cross, we died in him. He was our representative. When he was buried, got up the third day, we got up with him. He was the head, we're the members. He didn't go to heaven without a body. He didn't go there just with a head. The whole member went with him. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Brother, we sit down with him. Proof. Paul said, who hath blessed us already with all spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ. Think of it. We're in him. And his spirit is in us, bearing testimony to the truth of the gospel. Think of it. That might boggle your mind. But you got to admit, if that's so, God had to do it. God couldn't. Chosen in him. Kept in him, preserved in him. As I said in the beginning, sought and found and kept by him. Aren't you glad this morning you believe in amazing grace? I thank you. I've enjoyed being here with you. 30 years ago, if I tell you now how old I am, you'd try to figure out how old I am now. And I'm not going to tell you. You might guess, but you know one thing about it. We always complain about getting old. You ever thought about if you hadn't lived to be as old as you are now, you'd already be dead? See, we're still living. We're still alive. And there's something in here that God put in here that's never going to die. When it leaves this body, he's going back to the one that gave it. One of these days, this old frail, wrinkled, perishing body, this body of death, going to be laid in the earth, decay, go back to the dust. One of these days, at God's own time, he's not going to have any problem finding it, because he knows where it is. He's coming back to get those he paid for in his death. And that's because of grace. May the Lord bless and rest upon you. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Obey the Lord. Talk about him to others. Tell what great thing God has done for us. Saved us, keep us for the God we have. One that can make this world and everything in it. He can do anything he wants to. But see, God don't want to. He does. He's a God of purpose and a God of power. I thank you. May the Lord bless you.